Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Let's pray it up. So, dear Heavenly Father, God, just thank you for this moment where you have brought your people to hear your word. God, speak through me today. May they take one thing out of this that they can apply to their life and change their life and their destiny forever. God, thank you for Pastor Jürgen Leanne, who had a vision 13 years ago, came to a foreign land not knowing a soul, and handshake by handshake, greeting by greeting, coffee after coffee, God, they built your house, not one house, not two, not three, but the fourth and 16 to come. God, bless their vision. God, raise up leaders, raise up volunteers, raise up finances. And God, thank you for the salvations, the breakthrough, the sons and daughters that you are bringing home through these houses. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Well, hey, it's an honor to be here. This is my third message, believe it or not. So like I said, started on the high team and just said, here I am, God, send me. And lo and behold, I'm up here. It's like, how'd that happen? So, but be faithful to his house and man, he'll raise you up at the appointed time. So you guys probably know that we're in a new series called Stretch, and it's Breakthrough into the Impossible. Man, just think about that. How many people want to break through into the impossible? That's the kind of life I want to live, and I know you do too. So I like to kind of do a word study and see what stretch means. So I dug into the dictionary, and the first thing that stands out to me, it's a verb. It's an action word. So the first step we've got to do to stretch our lives is we've got to take action. And it also means to be made or capable of being made longer or wider without tearing or breaking. Your stretch is designed that you will not be torn. You will not be broken. It may look like that, but you were designed to go the distance and to extend fully to reach something. There's something out there that we were meant to reach. We were uniquely created to reach, and we just need to get the stretch on. Amen? And then also, it's over a period of time. So, you know, we all want the immediate gratification, but I find God moves in seasons. We have to be faithful in the season, enjoy the journey, enjoy the process. Just count every day as just a joyful day that I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm taking one more step up the mountain. So the purpose of this series, if you ask me, is to number one, take action. We got to start with action. Give God something to bless. Number two, to reach further than we believe is possible. Not in our strength, but in his strength. We need his strength. To test the boundaries of our stretch without breaking, and to go the distance for as long as it takes. You know, this is a journey of life, 100 years plus or minus, and God is trying to develop us into what he has called us to be. You know, one of my favorite Bible verses is, God is the author and the finisher of our faith. So you all have a measure of faith right now. God sees it this big. But we just have to enjoy the journey each and every day and let that faith rise. Amen? So the title of my message today, the journey I want to take you on, is the victory stretch. How many people want to reach the victory stretch? That's what I'm talking about. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And you see that guy right there? He's climbed the mountain that seemed impossible. He's got to the top. His vision is bigger and longer than ever, and he's raised his hands in victory. So that's what we're talking about this morning. So let's dig into it. You know, every time I stretch, every time we stretch, we have an opportunity to have victory in our lives. As I look back on my life, you know, and you look back on yours, I'd venture to say that the greatest victories in life have come through a difficult circumstance. You know, nobody wants to hear a story of like, I played it safe. You know, I saw the risk and I took none. I mean, that's not a movie I want to watch. I want to watch the Rockies and the Rudies and the Pursuit of Happiness, the underdog that didn't believe in himself, had all odds against him, lacked faith, But he kept moving forward, And God saw that persistence and came alongside him and gave him the victory. So that's what you guys are. You were meant to live that story. You are the Rockies. You are the Rudies out there. So we're designed to not live a common life, but a life of greatness. We were designed to be a modern-day Bible hero. Think about that. There's so many heroes in the Bible, but God still has a chapter to write for you with your name at the top of the book. So don't ever forget that. You were destined for greatness. You were destined for the stretch. We need to stretch in our faith, our belief, and our action. So let's all explore together some key points I found in my journey that have helped me to kind of make that victory stretch. So point number one, how many note takers we got out there? Good. I see a lot on the front row. You're my kind of people. Take every thought captive. I can't remember everything. So God's going to speak to you today. He's going to give you your one thing. I want you to act on that. If you don't get anything from me, God will give you the one thing. All right, let's get into it. Identify your mission. A lot of things I learned through a 20-year Marine Corps career, but first of all, you've got to identify your mission. It's a question we all ask ourselves. God, what is my purpose? What is my mission in life? What is my destiny, my calling? For years, I prayed for God to show me the mission. Just show me the end, God. Just show me where I'm supposed to end up, and I will just run with reckless abandon. I will go hard all in. But God said, I'm not in that journey. If I show you the end, where am I? And so he taught me that he teaches us in seasons. You're in a season right now. You're designed to learn something and get something out of that season. Now, you know, I have one handicap that's a blessing and a curse. I'm a perfectionist. Any perfectionists out there? You've got to study, plan, organize, spreadsheet. I can go on and on and on, right? Okay. If you're planning a vacation, give me a couple weeks. I'll get every minute by minute dialed in. I'll have exactly where we're going to go, pricing, you know, what food we're going to eat, budget laid out. So, okay, I'm speaking somebody's language out there. And then we marry the exact opposite. So my beautiful bride, Miss Spontaneous. So she doesn't plan anything. She says, let's just go. Let's figure it out along the way. And so what I've realized is God's looking for those kind of people more than the perfectionists. He's looking for the let's go. Let's step into the deep. Let's step into the water. Let's just get started on this journey together, and I'll fill in everything you're missing. So, Bayeb, thanks for being Miss Spontaneous. So you teach me a lot, dear. So the other thing is what I've learned is, you know, God's not going to give us all the answers before we start running. He's looking for that faith stretch. You know, and it takes that just that small measure, like Heather was talking about, just a very tiny mustard seed. And God said, we can move a mountain. So I don't know if you've ever just thought about that for a minute or two, but faith as a mustard seed. If you ever poured that spicy mustard on your hot dog, maybe Memorial Day will be your first time, but that seed is so tiny. If I held it up here, you couldn't even see it. And God's saying, that's all the faith that it requires to move an entire mountain. So yeah, mind blower. I don't know about you guys, but yeah, God wants a we in our mission and not a me. Let me repeat that. God wants a we in our mission and not a me. So it's always been about relationship. You could sum up the Bible and I want a relationship with you, you know? So if you're looking for your mission, you tie close to God and he'll help you discover it. So how do we go about identifying our mission in life? You know, I find it's through prayer. Praying, asking God to reveal, God, what is this season I'm in? Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And then attending church, watching God open doors in your life. And in here, all the messages that you receive, God will align that one thing week after week after week. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times we're a hearer of the word, but we're not a doer of the word. So take all these great notes, these great downloads, and just do the one thing. That's one thing God's revealed in my life. Just, Charles, you got all these great notes, all these great downloads, but just pick one. Apply it to your life. If you guys did that every single week, that's 52 action steps. Probably more than you've ever done all last year or 10 years. So let's put the action in is what we need to do. Now, one of the greatest things my mother and grandmother did for me was take me to church. They planted me in a Baptist church for 18 years. We got any Baptists out there? Raised Baptists? All right, we had the old hymns, you know, we had the pastor up there, fire and brimstone. I was in the judgment seat every week, hoping to survive the flames of fire and convicted of my sin, you know, but hey, maybe that was just my story. But anyway, the thing that stood out to me, especially raised in the Sunday school, was these men that would gather all the young boys together, and they teach a Bible lesson. And it was a Bible hero that I really resonated with. Maybe it was the story of Noah, or Moses, or Samson, or David. These guys that had all the fear, all the doubt, you know, that doubted their abilities, their capabilities, were the least in their families, couldn't speak, you know, but nevertheless, God partnered with them and wanted to use the underdog because that's when he gets the victory. And so if you felt like you're an underdog in your life, you're right where God wants you to be. You're who he's looking for. You know, he can tell a great testimony just by making yourself open and available to him. So even though, you know, these guys were reluctant, he stood by them, he encouraged them. And, you know, I often think that if God was ever to write the 67th, 68th, 69th book of the Bible, I know there'd be a chapter, a book in there called Jürgen, a book in there called Leanne, a couple that, despite all odds against them, came to America 13 years ago, didn't know a soul, and just started to build a church, handshake by handshake, partnered with God. The devil was circling around them, telling them they're never going to make it. And they broke the mold, and they said, when God's with me, who can be against me? That's the life we were meant to live. So let's get into it. These Bible story heroes, they had a profound impact on me and probably caused me to join the Marine Corps. Because I wanted an adventure to live. I wanted to fight for freedom. I wanted to see other parts of the world. I wanted to go out there and make a difference. And so I was proud of my 20 years of Marine Corps service. You know, and some of the things that that really hit me along this adventure, you know, I love to challenge. I love to be victorious in battle. I love to be tested to see if I've got what it takes. And secretly, all of you do too. You know that your greatest victory, whether it's sports or academics or business world, whatever it is, the greatest challenge that you ever overcome, that's what you brag about. That's what you tell people about. We need more of those in our lives. We need more testimonies because that's going to set people free. So in the same mission that I wanted to pursue, our Lord and Savior pursued. You know, think about it. He chose to accept a challenge that was the greatest challenge we've ever seen. An impossible mission to save humanity, a challenge so great that the stress caused him to sweat drops of blood in the garden. I mean, I've been in war, but I've never sweated drops of blood. I couldn't imagine the stress on our Savior. But he looked up and on Luke 22:42 said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, your will be done and not my own. And so, what situation are you facing? What stretch are you being asked to make? I know that you're probably like Jesus. I mean, he was God, and he still doubted his abilities, his capabilities to see through to his mission. But nevertheless, your will be done. We need to be nevertheless kind of people. Amen? So I want to share with you a couple steps I found along my journey that helped me discover my mission and might help you discover yours. First of all, a desire or passion. What are your hobbies, your interests? What are the things you like to read and do? Things that you never get tired of doing. And when you spend an hour doing it, it's like a minute. You're so excited, so enthusiastic. You can wake up early, go to bed late. You have a passion for it. It's a deep desire. That's a hint because God put those desires and passions within you. You know, I love to create. I love to build things. I built furniture, leather goods, repurpose metal items. And God was showing me all along the way that you like to take nothing and make it into something. Now I want you to see people that way. All of us need to see each other, see the gold inside of each and every one of you. And you can't see the greatness in you, but we need to call that out. We need to mold and develop and call out the greatness in everyone in our sphere of influence. When we do that, it is game over, devil. Amen? Number two, what skills, talents, and abilities do you have? What are you naturally gifted at? What comes easy for you? What have others commented about you that you do extremely well? Where do you stand out amongst others? God gave you that unique makeup. You want to learn something amazing? Let me challenge you to do this. And I'd love to hear feedback who wants to take this challenge. It'll change your life. I want you to take your 10 closest friends, and I want you to ask them this question. Instead of taking them out to dinner, Memorial Day, pull somebody aside and have a real conversation, a conversation that's going to change your life. It's going to give you a glimpse into your future, and ask them something like this. When you see me, what do you see? What makes me unique? What are my gifts? And what do you admire most about me? If you have your 10 closest friends, share that with you. Wow, you will get a glimpse into your destiny and calling. How you are uniquely created for greatness. And then we're going to bring it home with the final one, heart. Now, heart is what God has shown me over these last couple years. What makes you cry? Think about it. You know, those in the military, the police, the firefighter, we see a lot of crazy situations, things that make us callous to our emotions. But what do you watch? What do you listen to that makes you cry? It's something so deep, so impactful that your entire body responds to it. You want to know what makes me cry? Do you guys really want to know? Well, I'm not going to tell you because I'm a Marine and we don't cry. We just lubricate the eyeball so we can sight in on the next target. Amen, Jeff? Come on, brother, right there. No, seriously, I'll let you guys in. It's really serving and blessing others. And let me give you a couple stories. When I was a kid growing up in Virginia, 90-degree days, 70% humidity. I mean, don't take a shower, sweat's just rolling off of you. So my neighbor decides to re-roof their house. And I said, can I come help? So he looked at me with shock. He's like, how much do you want? I said, nothing. He couldn't believe it that I'd be willing to haul these heavy asphalt shingles, roofing, tar paper, the nails, up and down the ladder, and just help him in the heat of the day. But I love to just serve on somebody, and I got to learn at the same time. And then our Connect group, for those of you in a Connect group, there's so many opportunities to serve on others, to bless others. We had a single mom, barely making ends meet, with a son. And so we collectively came together. It was Christmas time. She didn't have money for anything. Bought her a tree, decorated her house while she was gone, put presents for her and her kid under the tree, so they had an incredible Christmas morning. And then one of my great ones here was I was driving home late at work. After work, it was like 10 o'clock at night. I was running errands. There was this blind, unlit exit ramp. And as I entered it, I saw a car that had the hazards on. Late at night, I just wanted to get home, but God said, pull over. I pulled over. It was an immigrant couple. And so I got down, and I first thought they had just busted their front tire. And so they had hit the curb so hard that the entire fender well was locked onto the wheel. So I took out my knife. Every man should carry a knife, right? And cut away the fender well and thought they could get back on the road. They started it up. They had broke the axle, the front axle. They were going nowhere. So you take things for granted when you see somebody on the side of the road that they'll just call the tow truck and they'll be on their way, or a family member. They were 4 months into this country, could barely speak the language. The simple act of calling the insurance company and trying to report the location, the damage, so they could get help was beyond their capability. I was able to make that call for them, be the interpreter, and then God said, take them home. So I didn't call my beautiful bride. So we show up. I got two strangers with me, 11 o'clock at night, and say, babe, here we are. They need some food and drink. So she served them with excellence after the shock and awe wore off. And tow truck was on his way. We went there, delivered the keys, and then gave them a ride home. But I loved every single moment of that. And I know you guys do too. When you serve somebody, when they have no means of repaying you, but it just rises something up in your heart. It stirs something in you. And why can't we be like that? Why can't we look around at what's going on in our world? Someone that's crying in the corner. You know, there was this lady outside of Costco. She had run away from a youth home. She was crying there on the steps of Costco, 5 feet from the front door. I walked by her. I went in Costco. How many hundreds of people walked by her? I came back out. Nobody was with her. I stopped and I introduced myself and I said, what's going on? They're abusive to me. I ran away. They're after me. And I said, you know, can I pray for you? I mean, how many other people walk by that moment? So let's not take those for granted. Let's be a blessing to somebody. When God tugs on your heart, he's given you a glimpse of what you were called to do. Amen? All right. And then if you really want to know the unique mission we have in life, it's summed up in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in there, I started to unpack that verse. I don't know if you ever have. What's the first thing that we need to do? Remember that action, step, and stretch? Go. We got to take action. That's our responsibility. Take the first step to go, to start moving. Number two, make disciples. Everywhere you work, your business, your sphere of influence, those are potential disciples. You're a Christian. Go out there and be a Christian. Baptize them. You know how you baptize them? Introduce them to church. Introduce them to C3 East Campus. Introduce them to your connect group. Get them around. If you don't have the words, the biblical doctrine, know the Bible, I didn't either. But I can get them around an environment where God can speak into their life and then teach them. The greatest teacher for parents, you'll know what I'm talking about, is your example. You know, I can tell my kids on the front row all day what to do, and they always tell me, Dad, we know, you've told us a million times. Dads always want to impart that knowledge, but it's my example. It's what I do when no one's looking is what they'll remember about my parenting. The same thing for you as a Christian. You know, your example speaks before you ever enter the room. Make it an example you want to be your voice. And then remember, here's the best part. I am with you. Always, even to the ends of the earth. I don't know about you guys, but I get busy. We all have a lot on our plate, and I forget sometimes that the greatest father I've ever known, the greatest son, that all I have to do is follow his example, but the greatest spirit that lives inside each and every Christian. I've often found myself that, like, I see the Holy Spirit a lot of times. He's in a jail cell within you. He's bound. He's gagged, and we don't let him out. And I was like, the greatest power in the universe lives within us. Why are we doing this life alone? You know, so just think about that. I mean, it was a mind blower for me. So I never used to speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. And like, when you have the edification of the Holy Spirit, and you know it's not you, you feel him like you've never felt him before. And I can talk from experience. So don't be afraid of it. In Baptist church, they said that was of yesteryear. You know, we don't talk about that. I was like, why? Jesus said, the greatest helper I give to you, you can do greater works than I did. So let's use the Holy Spirit. You want to stretch? You let that guy out of the cage and you're going to stretch. Amen? Come on. All right. So action. On point number one, man, time goes fast. Plant yourself in church, and God will reveal your assignment. Pray. Look for what aligns with your desires, your passions, your skills, your talents, your abilities. But the real secret, what makes you cry, what tugs on your heart, that's the mission God has designed you for. It's something so deep it resonates with your heart. And allow yourself to be stretched beyond your comfort zone. And this is the kind of responder God is looking for, found in Isaiah 6:8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. That's what you guys were called to be. A here I am, send me kind of Christian. You know, don't shrink back for it. This life is too short. Let's go all in this year. You want to bring 16 campuses, you want to see lives saved, you want to bring sons and daughters home to heaven, you want to have a party like we've never seen, it's you, your sphere, your influence, your stretch, getting out of your comfort zone, going for it. You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. The devil is the only one that tries to shrink you back into a comfort zone. Don't listen to him anymore. All right, that's just point one. Now, point two, get in the fight. That's what we need to do. This is where you'll be stretched the most. This is where I've been stretched the most. After you've discovered your specific mission, it's time to get in the fight. And what we've learned in the military, and I think it applies here, is we have to know three things: why we are fighting, who we are fighting, and how to fight. So let's pick number one, why we are fighting. And I'll read you this verse, Acts 20:24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious of myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And the highlight there, if only I may finish my course in my ministry. You think the people on this stage are the only ministers? No, you're a minister. You have a ministry with inside of you. You have a test and a testimony. You have overcame things in your childhood, experiences that people need to know about. People need to know how you survived, how you broke through. You are ministers. And we each have a course to complete. So now let's talk about who we are fighting. Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You know, many times throughout my life, I've had poor father figures. I've had bullies at school. I've had horrible bosses. I've had thieving landlords. I've had grumpy neighbors. And I always thought it was them. But it's having the discernment to see that it's the spirit within that person that is the real enemy. That verse just described, it's not people. God wants every single one of us to come home. But we need to have discernment and realize what we're up against. We're up against a spirit within people. And like, I just had a recent experience with someone that I work with, and I've served them for years, humbly submitted myself. And this person has done everything in their power to destroy me, my reputation, everything that I've done. And boy, I tell you, when you're faced like that, when all walls close in around you, natural emotion, humanity, is to just get so angry, so irate, to dig in, to fight. And then God gave me a revelation. You know, I actually was kind of saddened that I was sharing my struggle with people. And then God showed me the imagery and the passion of the Christ. Someone that did no wrong, brought before the rulers and the judges, his name smeared, called every name under the book, falsely accused. And what did Jesus do? He literally didn't defend himself. He let God defend him. He succeeded in his mission. So God said, instead of trying to attack back and fight harder and justify yourself, pray for him. And I was like, thank you, God. Thank you for developing my character in this season to pray for someone. It's against all odds, against natural human logic. But like, we are all Christians. We are all supposed to be Christ-like. So who can you pray for? Who is maybe persecuting you? Who have you not forgiven? Pray for them. Freedom comes when you pray for them. All the burden is lifted off of you. So that's one way how you get into the fight. And that's who we fight. Thank you. Thank you. So let me share a quick testimony of a time I failed and a time I succeeded. So the first story is called the garage door opener. So we've rented homes here in San Diego. We rented this beautiful home. We fixed it all up. It was time to leave. And the landlord and the homeowner conspired against us to not only steal our security deposit, falsely accuse us, but also to go after us for thousands of dollars in damages. Falsified evidence. I'm talking about taking brown paint and a roller, smearing it in a zigzag on a wall, snapping a photo and saying, that's how we left it. So these guys conspired. So the stress of just going to court, having to hire a lawyer, thousands of dollars, the stress was like overwhelming, you know? And so one of the things in the court documents is you fail to return the second garage door opener. So we had moved out, I'm unpacking boxes in the garage, and I find that second garage door opener. Didn't even know that it was ever given to me. And the anger and the emotion in the moment I took that thing, I threw it in the trash, and I said, basically, screw you. So it felt so good. I can't lie. It felt so good. But then later, the Holy Spirit convicted me. He's like, Charles, that was a test. Small $20 garage door opener test. You're better than that. And so fast forward a couple months later. So the trial date is set. I'm anxious to get my name cleared, my security deposit back. I countersued him for some things. And it all happened so fast in court. You know, the judge listening to the opening comments. We had our evidence. And then he says, I want to see both lawyers in the back chambers. They were gone for 30 minutes. They come back out. He renders a verdict. I'm wiping the case away. They were able to keep my security deposit. I didn't have to pay them any extra. My countersuit was thrown out. And I felt like I was not vindicated. I felt like the devil won. And so I had moved out. I had a muscle car at the time, 1970 Mercury Cougar XR7 convertible, 351 Windsor engine, just in case you wanted to know. And lo and behold, the homeowner, brand new Dodge truck, he has a family member living in the same neighborhood that we had moved to. And I'd see his truck there. So leading up to this, my convertible top was knifed. Acid was sprayed on my aluminum wheels, corroding them to where they couldn't be repaired. I knew exactly who did it. So I'd walk by his truck, always kept a knife on me, and man, I wanted to issue some vengeance. Everything in me wanted to repay him for what he had done. But again, I remember the test I failed, and the Holy Spirit gave me another chance. And I remember these words so clearly, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And I said, the fight is with God. The God will deal with him in his own time, in his own way. I'm going to stand down. So no matter if you failed in life, you know, you learn from it. You know, but God will give you other opportunities to succeed. So count it all joy, no matter what you're facing. It's all to develop our character, all to get us home, all to get us to our destination, all to build our faith, all to get us to stretch to be the man, the woman that God wanted us to be. Amen? All right. And then how to fight. I love this verse, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And the first part, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Look at what's happening in America right now. People are questioning their identity. Guys don't know if they're guys. Women don't know if they're women. You know, Boy Scouts are changing their names. I mean, we've got chaos all around us. The devil is on the offense, but God wants Christians to be on the offense. So don't be ashamed of the gospel. When you see an opportunity to speak your faith, you may be the only light in that room. So I want to encourage you, stretch. Stretch in that moment. Speak up. Stand up. You may be the voice that may change opinions. So, and you've got to know your Bible. That's one thing I've learned. That is the greatest book of wisdom we will ever have. Dig into it. If it's just, you know, a verse a day, get the word inside you. It'll flow out of you. It'll be amazing what comes out of your mouth. And you're like, oh, I've listened to that. I've heard the pastor speak that. I've read the word. I've read my devotional. And when you do, things flow out of you. And you can be that Christian that is going after each and every person, setting them free. Now, let me tell you a story. It was September 11, 2001. I was up early jogging, being a Marine at Marine Corps Air Station Miramar. And thank you. Hoorah. And so there I was, and I'm watching the news, and I see this plane go into the World Trade Center tower. And my first thought was, wow, what a tragic error. A plane malfunction, pilot malfunction, something tragic happened. And as I'm jogging live, I see the second plane hit the World Trade Center tower. In that moment, I knew that I needed to get off the treadmill. We're going to war with somebody. And the war on terror began. We knew we were going to war because America was under attack. We knew who we were targeting, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein's regime, and we knew how we were going to fight militarily. But two amazing things happened over there in Kuwait as we were leading up to Iraq war. One was, it was on the eve of the launch of the war in Iraq, and we had a massive tent where all of us ate. We were bare bones out there. We were the first units in with the air wing to get everything set up for the aerial bombardment. That preps the battlefield for the ground troops to come in. And so it was the eve of the war. We were officially going to launch it, and the chaplains gathered and invited everyone to the big tent for a worship service and a special message. And I tell you what, I walked into those doors, and it was packed. There wasn't a single person, atheist, whatever they proclaimed. Everyone was pressing in. And when you're on the verge of not knowing if you're going to see tomorrow, you're in a war zone, worship takes on a special meaning. It was absolutely incredible. And I knew in that moment that God would go before us. God will go before you in whatever fight you're facing. Just trust him, believe him, worship him. And then a couple months later, it was Easter service, Sunday. And me and the chaplain, a handful of Christians, we wanted to get up early that morning, walk over to the bombed out Kuwaiti airfield hangars and just see the sunrise and praise God for protection and for being in the fight where good was triumphing over evil. And as we prayed amongst all the devastation of 20-foot thick concrete hangars with a skylight of them from a missile that took them out, you know, barbed wire, rebar, electrical, hanging. In the midst of all that devastation was a peace and a calm. And that Sunday service, seeing the sunrise, just gave me renewed hope, renewed faith, that no matter what's happening in your life, no matter the devastation all around you, praising him, worshiping him, he is in the fight with you. You will succeed. The last one, since I'm going to close it up, I'm pulling a Pastor Juergen here. Thank you, sir. You trained me well. Leave them hungry for more. But the last one was achieve victory. And, you know, the best way to achieve victory is to give. Look at what Jesus did. He gave his life as a ransom for many. That's how we achieve victory in this life. That's how we achieve the victory stretch. Outgive everyone else if you really want to make a difference in this world. So since it is Memorial Day, I want to pause this morning. We had a moment of silence. We reflected on captain that we lost. And I want to tell you about another hero. And this is a citation from the Medal of Honor. The President of the United States, in the name of Congress, takes pride in presenting the Medal of Honor to Sergeant John Bassalone, United States Marine Corps, for service as set forth in the following citation. For extraordinary heroism and conspicuous gallantry in action against enemy Japanese forces above and beyond the call of duty while serving with the 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, 1st Marine Division in the Lunga area, Guadalcanal, Solomon Islands on 24 and 25 October 1942. While the enemy was hammering at the Marines' defensive positions, Sergeant Bassalone, in charge of two sections of heavy machine guns, fought valiantly to check the savage and determined assault. In a fierce frontal attack with the Japanese blasting its guns with grenades and mortar fire, one of Sergeant Bassalone's sections, with its gun crews, was put out of action, leaving only two men able to carry on. Moving an extra gun into position, he placed it in action. Then, under continual fire, repaired another and personally manned it, gallantly holding his line until replacements arrived. A little later, with ammunition critically low and the supply lines cut off, Sergeant Bassalone, at great risk of his life and in the face of continued enemy attack, battled his way using his pistol and a machete through hostile lines with urgently needed shells for his gunners, fighting for 3 days and night with no food, with no rest, with no sleep. He thereby contributed in a large measure to the virtual annihilation of a Japanese regiment. Tell me God wasn't in the foxhole with him. His great personal valor and courageous initiative were in keeping with the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, President. And as we pause to reflect and remember what this day is, it's Memorial Day. It's those that gave their last full measure and died on the field of battle. That's who we honor. That's who we remember. But I want to tell you about one other man that should receive the highest honor in our life. This is a man that's the greatest freedom fighter the world has ever known. A man that knew his mission, accepted his assignment, fought the good fight for 3 years, and achieved the ultimate victory, the victory over sin and death. His name is the name above all names. He is the one and only one to receive the highest honor, to sit at the right hand of the Father. This man is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, let's remember his life, his death, and his resurrection. He died for us. He died so that just as he stretched out for humanity and still brought one more, the thief on the cross, he stretched out for us to show us no matter what this world gives us, we were built for the stretch. We were built to have victory in the stretch, but we can't do it alone. There's only so much we can do in our power. We model after him, we unite with God, we release the Holy Spirit, and we are unstoppable.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.